You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Father, I love you, and I'm so grateful that you have entrusted to me the privilege of speaking to these people today. And I want to give them something that they can walk away from here with and make an application to their lives, and that they can honestly serve and work and be effective in Life Church, in the body of Christ, in ministry opportunities that you present to them. So would you help me? Would you help me today to speak life and to speak your word of truth? And would you open our hearts to receive your word, Lord, even your word by the Spirit, words that I may not even speak, but by the Spirit you speak into our hearts through truth. And would you open our minds to a deeper, greater understanding of what you have for us and what your expectations of us are? And would you let us see today the benefits, Lord, of serving you and being faithful and being diligent in all that we do? I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for Life Church. I thank you for all that you have given us opportunity to do and to participate in. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of having an impact in this particular neighborhood in which you have planted us. And I pray, God, that we can build your house, your kingdom here in this neighborhood, Lord, in a way that is not only approving of you, but it glorifies you and honors you, God. I pray, Lord, that you help us, that we would be a team of people that are unified in our efforts and that we are given to diligence, Lord, and that we prove ourselves faithful in all these things that you have called us to, whether that is on the streets of this particular neighborhood or on the streets of some city in some nation far around the world. I pray, God, that our hearts are always open to the Great Commission, that we would understand the power in being missional, and that we would be faithful, Lord, to complete the work that you have given to us, because you promise that indeed you will bring it to completion. So, God, we ask you today to help us, Lord, to ignite in us a greater desire, a greater passion, to do the work that you've called us to do. Let us be a people of God who do not grow weary in doing good, but rather we look to you that indeed you will give to us a harvest that comes forth out of our faithfulness and our due diligence. God, do this for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I would like to continue in Proverbs in chapter 24. So we're kind of moving quite a bit over into the book of Proverbs. I camped a lot in those first sort of 9 chapters of Proverbs, and then we went into a few of the other places along the way. And so I'm moving over quite a ways here in Proverbs to talk to you today. I talked to you about contentment last Sunday and this idea of as we gain godly contentment and it is exercised in our lives, that is actually a unifier. That is a means of bringing unity to us, because if we're not all going in our different directions and seeking our own gain and making comparisons of others and one another, then we can be more focused on what it is God has called us to do and be more diligent and sacrificial in fulfilling that. So I really do believe that godly contentment has a great gain, if you will, to it. It has a great benefit to it. And I think one of the major benefits is not just that you become satisfied, but that you become unified with others in the body and you're capable of doing great things for God. Okay, so we talked about contentment, and today I want to talk about a couple of other things in particular. One of them being compassion, in the sense of compassion over judgment. Being able to be compassionate and empathize with people who are in struggles, as opposed to judging them or passing judgment on them and writing them off, so to speak. And then also the idea of exercising diligence, as opposed to being in some ways lazy in the kingdom of God. All right. Now, this is in no way an indictment against any of us. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and bring conviction to you if there are things that need to be tweaked or dealt with whether there are sins that you are carrying in respect to these areas that you need to lay down and allow God to transform you and change you, all right? So that is between you and God. So I'm talking to us corporately. So perhaps not everything will touch you with the spirit of conviction, but probably some things will. Because I think these are areas that many of us struggle in the body of Christ. And we're very prone to become high-minded and judgmental of lost people and sinful people and the behaviors that capture them, as opposed to being compassionate and empathizing with the bondage and the lack of freedom that these people are experiencing. And that can sometimes get in the way of our being effective in ministering to them in the way that God would have us, to show His love and His goodness to them. And it makes it hard for us to sort out when then we need to have a sort of what they call a tougher love and speak kind of firm and confrontational things to individuals. All right, so we kind of wrestle, don't we, with all of that stuff. And so let's look here in this particular passage of Proverbs, and let me challenge you in particular, again talking and leading us towards our outreach and the day that we're going to be out here and we're going to open ourselves up and embrace our neighborhood and bring them in. How do we respond to the people that God brings into our lives? How do we respond to those that we are connecting with by divine appointments that God has ordained for us to be in? I mean, the reality, folks, is that God has put us in this neighborhood. God has set us here, all right? We are here by divine plan. And so we have a responsibility to reach in, open ourselves up and to reach in and to receive the neighborhood as God allows and draws the neighborhood in to us. So these are things that are realities for us. And sometimes I found out with individuals like myself, when things get difficult or when I'm uncomfortable or I'm stretched beyond my comfort zone, I have a tendency to look somewhere else. I have a tendency to feel that I'm being drawn somewhere else, other than the place where it might be a bit challenging or it might be a bit tense or it might be a bit difficult for me to do what God is calling me to do. And so instead of evangelizing sometimes right on my home front, because it feels very uncomfortable or it challenges my comfort level in some way, I will get a romantic notion to go across the pond. You know, that seems more exciting. That seems more dynamic. That seems more godly. That seems more holy. That seems more sacrificial. And before you know it, I'm over there. But the reality is that the call of God has never left where He has set me down. And I think we will all find that happening sometimes. It might be that, well, I know this is my neighborhood, but I'm just sort of feeling like God is really calling me to my workplace and the ministry that I have there. And so we want to look there and focus there because we're not comfortable where God has placed us. And so I want to challenge all of us that we embrace the place, if you will, all right, that we put our arms around the area of the city that God has brought us into. Because most of you who are sitting here today, there are some of you that live close around in this neighborhood, but a lot of you don't. You live a little bit further out, and some of you live a long ways out. And thank you for coming in. Thank you that God has drawn you to Life Church and you feel the desire and the responsibility of driving in. Some of you from other communities outside of Sioux Falls, you drive in here and you come to Life Church. And so by default or whatever, you now have a new neighborhood. Not just the neighborhood that you physically live in, but a neighborhood that God has you living in spiritually. All right? That is this neighborhood here. And so not only do you build your spiritual house where you have chosen to settle and bought your plot of land or rented your space or whatever, but you have a spiritual house as living stones being built. You have a house to build here in this neighborhood. And that is a house of refuge and light and hope for lost people. And so I want us to look at that this morning because I want your heart to be ready so that you can come in here on the 23rd and you can embrace people who are lost. But not only here in this neighborhood, but I want you to be able to embrace rightly lost people on your work site. To be able to embrace lost people in the park when you take your children there. Lost people when you go on vacation. And even lost people when you take that short-term missions trip that so many of you are going to take in the coming years. Okay? So this is the challenge, I think, for us, is that we approach it in the right way. If we wait until that day, I know someone and they had issues with a particular group of people, an ethnicity. And they knew in their heart that there something wasn't right there. They just didn't feel right about this particular group of people. And it was just always there. It was just a little tugging thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, God, in His infinite wisdom, puts three of these individuals from this particular ethnicity right in this person's face. I mean, like they got to, like, live together. And this person said to me, I knew the first time they walked in the room, I had to get it right. I had to get it right. And it wasn't I had to get them right. I had to get it right, meaning the condition that was in my own heart. And this person said to me, I said hello, and I walked away. Not to be disrespectful, but I walked to the other side of the room, and I found the corner, and I just got down in the corner on my knees. And I said, God, it's me. This is what they said. I said, God, it's me. Do whatever you've got to do. You know? Some work has to happen before we can open our arms and embrace people who are lost people. And that work has to be done in us because it's an it work. It's not a them work. God will do the them work. All right? God will take care of lost people. And He will draw them. And as we bring truth to them and they get saved and discipled, they will grow and they will change and be transformed. That's a them work. And the Holy Spirit's got to do that. We can't do that in our own strength. But there's an it work that needs to happen in all of us, and that is the work of God changing our own hearts so that we can approach others who are different than us or not like us or are just sinners. And there are things about people that are different that have nothing to do with sin. That really, folks, shouldn't be a problem. Okay? You, as Christians, you should be far beyond that. That's just a sign of immaturity. Right? But there are things that we must understand about God, and that He has called us to the sinners, to the unbelievers, to the people who are doing things that we don't approve of, that we don't necessarily like, that we think are wrong. But He's called us to them in the right spirit. All right? So, with that, let's look at chapter 24. I want to break it up into two parts, and I'm going to just not even do anything with the middle part of this chapter. I want to go a little bit with the first part, and then I want to take you to the end, okay? And I want to talk to you with your mind and your thoughts on Saturday the 23rd a bit, okay? Just like last week, I'm getting you ready to be there, all right? Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. In other words, don't come into alignment with them. For their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. Verse 3, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his works? This is a heavy sort of call to us here in this particular passage. And the call is that we focus in on the heart of God so that we are acting and responding out of the wisdom of the Spirit and not out of our flesh and out of our own soul. We're building a house, folks. And it's not a judgment hall or a system of the courts or some worldly strategy. So there's two things that I think we're going to see as we go through these passages, these I just read and the others we read, and that is that there's a certain approach that we need to have to wicked people or sinful people. And there are two things we cannot do. One is we cannot align with them to build the kingdom of God. Right? Can't happen. We can't work with the wicked to build the kingdom. All right? The other side of the coin is we can't condemn them and not be in their lives. And that's the angst that we have here, all right? We're called to bring the gospel. We're called to establish the kingdom as the body of Christ, all right? And we bring that gospel to lost people. And we can't bring the gospel if we are coming in judgment. Because if all we're going to throw on people is the law, we're going to kill them. Okay? But the other side of the coin is we can't compromise the truth of God's word and align ourselves with evil people to build the kingdom of God. And so we need each other, and especially those in leadership, to help us to discern where it is we need to fall. And I wish I could tell you there was just this precise 1, 2, 3, ABC, whatever, 7 keys to walking the straight line and never getting off course. But we're working with people and struggles and sin issues and governments and other groups within the body of Christ, and streams and whatnot. And so there are variables that get in here. But I want you to understand that God did not set Life Church up to bring death. God has set Life Church up so that we actually can advocate. We become an advocate for the sinner. We come in on their behalf. We try to work for them on their behalf. Now, they don't understand that necessarily, okay? Sometimes sinful people don't even know they're sinful. They don't understand that they're lost. But that's what we're advocating, is what is in their best interest, what is good for them, which is Jesus Christ. So that's the answer we bring, is Christ. That's what we advocate, is to embrace Christ and let Christ do the work in an individual's life. So we're not going around pointing fingers with our don't do list. We're not going around judging or passing judgment on people. But we're also not going around saying, you know what, it's okay to do this and do that, and we'll let you work with us even though you're not a Christian and you don't believe like we believe and stuff like that, you know. And we understand you're dark, we're light. That's weird talk. That's foolishness. That doesn't even make sense. And you shouldn't be talking like that. All right? So we're not aligning ourselves with darkness because we are of the light. But because we are of the light, we're going into the darkness to bring the light. And that is our call. And so I want to encourage you and I that we not look at sin as something that separates us or isolates us as the church from the world. But it is the reason that God has called us into the world. And so even though we don't embrace it, we're not afraid of it. It doesn't overwhelm us. It doesn't take us out, if you will. All right? And here's what I want you to understand. Through the wisdom of God, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we can build this house. We as living stones can build this house and we can have an effective ministry in this neighborhood. And it may take a long haul to do that. It may take a lot of time to do that. But we can stay here and we can persevere here and we can choose to be strengthened by God and not grow weary and stay in this thing and keep hitting at it and hitting at it and hitting at it until we see that wall break down. Because we're building a house. The house of God. All right? And so I want you to grab a hold of this passage and be encouraged by it, all right? In the wisdom of God, we're able to build this house that He's called us. By understanding, it is established. As we understand the ways of God and the things of God, it will be established. But not only that, in an earlier passage in Proverbs, it talks about the building of a house, just like it does here, all right? But the amazing thing about this particular passage is it goes a step further. He says here that a house is built, and it is established. That's from wisdom and understanding, just like the prior passages have talked about. But it says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Not only are we building a house, if we build, God will fill it. It will be filled. And I believe God will give us the strategies that we need to be able to do that. To be able to reach out and to be the hands that call and lead people in. And I know that God will sometimes draw people on His own. He will do that. I understand that. But there are often times where God is going to expect you and I to step out and to be that voice or that hand of care and love, that gift, if you will, into our neighborhood and beyond. And He's going to ask you to do things that are not going to be fitting to your comfort level. But they're out of the wisdom of the Spirit, not the logic of the flesh. And you're going to have to be able to go with that. You're going to have to be able to step out and say, you know what, God, I have to trust you here. Because everything in me is crying, no, don't do it. And yet, it is the will of God. There are some of you who are sitting here today. Angela alluded to it in what her simple comments up here today. You wouldn't be where you are now if it hadn't been for Life Church. Not because Life Church is the answer here, but because God has been at work in your heart in Life Church. And there has been change. And some of you are doing things that you wouldn't have done a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's because, it's not because you sat in a chair Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's because you have been making application of the wisdom and the understanding that you have been receiving by the Spirit and the power of God. And that transformation has moved you. And there are some of you that are sitting here, and I could name you because I know, because I've walked with you. There are things that you're doing now that 5 years ago, they would have overwhelmed you. And you would never have done them. All right? And these ladies up here are smiling and looking at each other because they know. These are amazing ladies in Life Church. And some of you, same way with you. You are amazing in what God is doing through you right now. But it's stuff you wouldn't have done 5 years ago. It would have overwhelmed you. And in overwhelming you, it would have zapped you. It would have, in a sense, weakened you. All right? But here's what he says. A wise man, a man full of the wisdom of God, is full of strength. And a man of knowledge enhances his might. I believe that God will give you what you need. All right? And some of you, stepping out in faith, you are going through some adversities. But I believe that all of that is training and discipline, that as you are passing through this life of challenges and obstacles along the way, that it is actually increasing your strength as you do this, that God is at work in you. This is why in a prior message in this Proverbs series, we could say, God is good, even in the adversities. God is good. And so we hold to that. This good God is calling us to be missional and to reach out and to serve in our neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you something. Every life lived has its days of adversity. To tell you that that is not true would be totally, totally wrong. I don't want to set you up for some false belief that everything, now that you're a Christian, everything is just going to be hunky-dory with you and just really great, all right? Because it's not. All right? But I want to tell you that you don't have to grow faint and be overwhelmed by the things that go on around you or by your view of the kind of sin that we have to deal with as the body of Christ. There are some days I don't like to listen to the news, even though I love the news. Because it does. It gets me down or it overwhelms me. And I feel the strength in me starting to fade out. It's like, is it ever going to be that we can be victorious? Is it ever going to be that we can overcome? When I'm reading that ISIS, whatever, is killing children, Christian children, systematically, cutting their heads off in Iraq. Stuff like that, folks, it's a battle. I have to go into a battle with that stuff. All right? I can't reconcile anything about that. And I have to leave it to God because I don't understand that. And yet I know. And this is what I had to come to last night. I was reading it in the New Testament Christians were beheaded for the kingdom of God, for Christ, for their faith, for Jesus. And it wasn't just the men who were the head of the household. It was men and women and children. And what happened in the New Testament was that the gospel exploded. It flourished. And so if these are the seeds that fall to the ground, that bring forth the harvest, I cannot argue with that. So my prayer then becomes, God, let me align with you. And I pray for revival. I pray for the opening of the gospel in these nations. I do pray for protection for these people. But I pray that they will be strong. And that their strength will come out of their wisdom from God. And not the logic of man. And they will stay strong even unto death. We are called into this neighborhood and we cannot be overwhelmed by it to the point that we become weak and we're not capable of doing the things and accomplishing the things that God has called us to accomplish. The spirit of wisdom is our key. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We're not going to win this neighborhood in our own strength. We're not going to win this neighborhood because we are people who are capable of persevering. We're going to win this neighborhood because the Spirit of God is upon us. And because He has anointed us to come into this neighborhood and to be a part of the work of setting the captives free. And that would be true if we were in a neighborhood on the south end of town or the north end of town or the east side or the west side. But we're in the center. Hallelujah. We're right here. This is our neighborhood that God has called us to build the kingdom of God in. And so let's not grow weary. Let's not grow faint here in doing this. All right? Don't be overwhelmed by what God has entrusted to us. Let us pull from Him and let's gain our strength from Him. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, the Lord is my refuge, the place I run to in time of need. But He is also my strength, the one I hold on to so that I am capable of doing the things that I need to do. I can go to Him as my refuge, but He is my strength so that I can do what He has called me to do. It isn't a situation or a dynamic where every time there is something hard to do, I just get to run to God and crawl up in His lap and say, okay, just take care of me. That's what little children do. And they're privileged to do that. Because they know that they can get up in there. When my little grandson comes to church, he comes and gets in my lap. I hold him. He puts his arms around me. He hugs me close. He gives me kisses on the face. I love all of that. But there's a day when he won't get to do that. And my responsibility with his dad and mom is to help him grow up into that place where he is no longer needing to always be cuddled in my lap. But he has a responsibility, and he grows into it, and he becomes a man, and he does what he's called to do as a man. You and I cannot be babes in Christ all of our lives. And we cannot be overwhelmed by the things that are around us. We have to be able to say, okay, God, you've entrusted this to me, and you've equipped me for this. Now give me the strength that I can do what I am called to do. And then we do it. It's kind of like when you've done everything to stand, stand. When you've got everything to do, then do. Do what God has called you to do. All right? So let us live in the strength of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 4, I think it is. Do you have that one for the screen? Is it 1 Peter chapter 4? I can't read my own writing. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 4. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. All right? Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You are called to serve, but not in your own strength, in the strength that is supplied by God. God is the source, not you. It's not about you, it's about God. And so he will supply us in order that in everything he is glorified through Jesus Christ. So this is how we position ourselves. We don't know what we will experience on Saturday the 23rd, but it should be glorious because it is going to glorify Jesus Christ. That day is going to be a glory to God. That day is going to be a wonderful day where we get the opportunity to serve our neighbors and to love on them and bless them and encourage them. So we go at this with expectation that today Jesus Christ is going to be glorified. And glorified in all that we are doing for him. So, don't faint in the days of adversity. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on around us in the world. But let's not let that affect our ability to minister in our neighborhood where God has called us. And this is why. Because in verse 11, it says, this is the mandate, rescue. I love that this passage uses that word. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. There are people out here in our neighborhood who are in spiritual death, and they need to be rescued. And God has set us here to build a house of refuge for them. So rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. The responsibility isn't on the one stumbling. It is on the one who must go and hold them back. The responsibility is on you and I to bring the gospel. To allow the gospel to become that strap, if you will, or that brace that holds that person and keeps them from falling. So let us be challenged in this today, all right? That we are willing to stand up and take hold of the strength of God and let that strength give us the ability to do what we're called to do, rescue the lost. All right? So that's sort of the number one section. We're called to rescue. We're called to hold back lost people who are stumbling, and even young, immature Christians who are stumbling, babes in Christ, called to hold them back. So on the 23rd, when we walk out there that morning and we start setting up, our heart needs to already be transformed. And it's like, today, I'm not a Pharisee. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. One who has the grace and the strength to be able to compassionately reach into these people's lives. And I don't feel very equipped for this, but I know one thing. God is with me. And I can do all things through Christ that is in me. And the wisdom of God and the understanding of truth will help me to be able to reach lost people. People are not afraid to go to Bible studies. People are not afraid to serve in a church. People are not afraid to do religious things. People are afraid to evangelize. This is our great fear. And we can't let it be an elephant in the room, all right? This is a fear that we have to address as the body of Christ. We're called to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the earth, all right? All right, let's move over and let's talk a little bit more now. And I want to talk beginning at verse 23 and just talk through that passage a little bit here. Let me read that for you. These also are sayings of the wise. Partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the wicked, "You are in the right," will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, "I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done." And then he kind of brings us to this sort of word picture, this analogy here that's really quite intense. It's quite impressive. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is a tremendous challenge for us, folks. And there are some of you who will sit here in the congregation, and I understand it, I get it, and say, "I give due diligence, I take care of my family, I pay my bills, I'm doing all these things for God, I'm working, I'm making a living, I'm top of the line at my job, I'm on pace in my career, I'm in my timeline, I'm doing all of these things." And that is great, but not at the expense of the kingdom of God. Not that you can become lazy, if you will, or a sluggard for the vineyard of God. And so there's a matter for us as the body here of evaluating and making sure that we have our priorities, if you will, in order so that we are giving due diligence to the kingdom. And that the kingdom is not growing in disrepair, if you will. It is not being abandoned, and we're not slackers in the most important area that God has ordained for us to work in, because we are expending ourselves for these other areas that in our own hearts are very meaningful to us. Let me tell you something. If there's something you want, you will find the money to get it. And if there's something that you love to do, you'll find the time to do it. And if there is something that will benefit you greatly, you will put forth the amount of effort that is necessary to get it accomplished. Where are we in the kingdom? Let us look at the work that God has called us to do. And let us be challenged in our lifestyle. Let us be challenged in our decision making. Let us be challenged in our set of priorities to make sure that the kingdom of God is getting its just do, and that we're not finding ourselves living in such a way that the very thing that is most important to God is being left out. All right? So I commend you, those of you who are career oriented and you're success oriented and you're doing great things, and I'm thankful for the fact that we are blessed. Life Church is blessed. We're all blessed because of your ability to give, the resources that you have. But if that is taking you away from the very things that your gifts will allow you to do, to reach lost people and to push back darkness and establish the kingdom of God. It's out of kilter. It's out of order. And we're no better than the field of the sluggard or the vineyard of the man lacking sense. All right? So don't let the house of God go into disrepair, if you will. Don't let what God is building crumble. Let us be diligent, all right? Let us be diligent. Let us be honest. Let us not show partiality. Let us be true followers of Christ here. Let me read something to you. This was a sermon written many years ago. And I love the introduction to the sermon. And it is about this particular passage in Proverbs 24. I want you to just listen, all right? Just hear the words of this. This slothful man did no hurt to his fellow men. He was not a thief, nor a ruffian, nor a meddler in anybody else's business. He did not trouble himself about other men's concerns, for he did not even attend to his own. It required too much exertion. He was not grossly vicious. He had not energy enough to care for that. He was one who liked to take things easily. He always let well alone. And for the matter of that, he let ill alone also, as the nettles and the thistles in his garden plainly proved. What was the use of disturbing himself? It would be all the same 100 years hence, and so he took things just as they came. He was not a bad man, so some said of him. And yet, perhaps it will be found at last that there is no worse man in the world than the man who is not good. For in some respects, he is not good enough to be bad. He has not even enough force of character about him to serve either God or Baal. He simply serves himself, worshiping his own ease and adoring his own comfort. Yet he always meant to be right. He was not going to sleep much longer, for he would only have 40 winks more, and then he would be at his work and show you what he could do. But one of these days he meant to be thoroughly in earnest and make up for lost time. The time never actually came for him to begin, but it was always coming. He always meant to repent, but he went on in his sin. He meant to believe, but he died an unbeliever. He meant to be a Christian, but he lived without Christ. He halted between two opinions because he could not trouble himself to make up his mind. And so he perished of delay. This picture is of the slothful man and his garden and field overgrown with nettles and weeds. It represents many a man who has professed to be a Christian, but who has become slothful in the things of God. Spiritual life has withered in him. He is backslidden. He has come down from the condition of healthy spiritual energy into one of listlessness and indifference to the things of God. And while things have gone wrong within his heart and all sorts of mischiefs have come into him and grown up and seated themselves in him, mischief is also taking place externally in his daily conduct. The stone wall which guarded his character is broken down, and he lies open to all evil. Upon this point, we will now meditate. The stone wall was broken down. Come then, let us take a walk with Solomon and stand with him and consider and learn instruction while we look at this broken down fence. When we have examined it, let us consider the consequences of broken down walls. And then in the last place, let us try to rouse up this sluggard that his wall may be yet repaired. That is the call today, folks, for you and I. This lazy, easy Christianity that the Western church has embraced and has become so desirable and intoxicating, has taken hold of the body of Christ. And I challenge you and I that we wake up, that we awaken out of this place of being sluggards, if you will. Not just in our daily routine, not just in the normal things that we do and the promises that we make and the commitments that we give ourselves to, but that in spiritual things in particular. And when I say a spiritual house, I'm not talking about these block walls and this concrete floor and these chairs, but I'm talking about our lives as living stones being built together. Because we are a holy priesthood, a royal nation, if you will. We're alien to this earth. And so God is calling us in this place where He has set us down, if you will. And He's calling us to stand up and do something. And to be diligent in it and to persevere through it. And so it is not a day when we can be lazy in the things of God. It's not a day that we can where we can be sluggards, if you will. It's like the passage in, earlier in Proverbs of the ant that appears only here in the book of Proverbs. But it's praised by God as a supreme example of industry, you know, of effectiveness, of accomplishment. And Solomon says that the ants are creatures of little strength. Yet they store up their food in the summer. They plan ahead. They look ahead. They prepare. They get ready knowing that God is going to need them and need what they have. That's the analogy here. God is going to need you. He's going to need what you have. But if you have nothing to give, then you're like the sluggard. And so you can't wait until the day that we have an outreach or the moment that someone comes by you and says, oh, are you a Christian? I'm really struggling and I don't know. I don't have any answers. Can you stand there and not have an answer, not have a response to them? God wants us prepared. He wants us looking. He wants us... I know not everyone is a visionary, but everyone has the ability to look forward. Because Paul says, I put things behind me, but I press on. I look ahead. I'm thinking about what's ahead of me, and I'm pressing towards that. That is the prize. In other words, my thoughts, my mind, my thinking, my processing, my decision-making, my acting is all forward. And it's because of what Jesus has already done. But that's how I live. And so I can't, I've got to look at this. And then I've got to consider. And then I have to receive instruction. And that is, I cannot let the enemy be invasive. I cannot let the enemy come in on me. And I cannot let spiritual poverty invade my life and take hold of me and wreck me and bring utter destruction to me. As a Christian, I must be like the ant. I must not be like the sluggard. I must be willing to be faithful to the great commission that God has called to me. And I live under these teachings. Because God cannot be pleased with us when we are in that place of being lazy and not giving due diligence and being prepared to reach out. And I realize I'm preaching this at a time that creates crunch time for you if you're not prepared to share. But you, in the next few days, you need to get yourself familiar with the gospel. You need to get on your face and pray and ask God to search your heart about your attitude towards your neighbors. And if sinful people create something conflicting inside of you, you need to deal with that and ask God for the compassion and the mercy that will allow you to love them unconditionally as you speak truth into their lives. So that you speak it as a lover of their soul, not a judge of their actions. Because this thing of the sluggard, Proverbs 10:26 says it's like this. This is the analogy. It's like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. You get that picture? Have you ever been by a campfire and all of a sudden the wind changes and the smoke just comes right up in your face and you're just like, oh, that burns, that's awful, and you're moving away from it. Even though the damage is done, you're trying to get away from it. Folks, if you're ill-prepared and there's a moment of opportunity, you can't get away from it. It's done. It's lost. Consider the way of the sluggard. And let us learn. Let us learn. Jesus condemned the wicked and the lazy servant in Matthew 25. But he praised and he rewarded the good and faithful servant. So I pray that Jesus will reward Life Church and what we're doing. And I realize that this was a very challenging and hard and direct word to you today. But folks, we're about to embark on making ourselves visible within our neighborhood in a couple of Saturdays. We're asking people to come in here. We're saying, you know what? Jesus has something for you. We need to be not only legitimate, but people of integrity. If we're going to say Jesus is your answer, we need to be able to bring that answer forth. And we need to be able to love like Jesus would love and care like Jesus would care. But we also need to be able to talk about sin and sin issues and confront those things and offer them a better answer than the bondage that they are living in now. Because we are called by this passage in Proverbs to rescue these people and to hold back those who are stumbling. That is the call of God upon us as believers, all believers. But Life Church, we will be that because we are people of the Word. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Wade. Wade is coming to share the gospel with you.
Well, just as Pastor Bill spoke of being diligent and intentional, we at Life Church are intentional about sharing the gospel each week because we're not so foolish to assume that you can walk through these doors and just be a Christian. There are people that could be in this room that do not know the love of Jesus and have not made that commitment themselves. So God, in his sovereignty, created this world, and we are a part of that world, and sin entered the world through the choice of man. And God hates sin. He's going to punish those filled with sin. And again, in his sovereignty, he provided a way out. He decided to send his son, Jesus, to take that sin, to take that punishment upon him, the very thing that we deserve, every single one of us deserve. He suffered. He died. But there is victory in that because his blood will cover you, will cover your sin, will make you as white as snow. It will make you righteous and holy and able to come into his presence and able to have eternal life. And so I just pray that the Holy Spirit would work in your hearts today to draw you in if you're one of those people. And I pray that you would come up when I'm finished praying to find one of us, one of the prayer leaders. Somebody in this church will pray with you and welcome you into the kingdom of God talk to you about repentance and his love, his unending love for you. So as our prayer team comes up, I'm going to start to pray. And then when I'm finished, you're dismissed. Father, we thank you for your plan. We thank you for Jesus, the light of the world, the one who gives life, the one who provides eternal life. I thank you for each person in this room, and I thank you for those that are maybe here and don't know you, and I pray, God, that you would just draw them by your Spirit right now, that they would feel that pull, feel that sense of rescue. Maybe they don't know what it was that they were missing, but Jesus, you are the one that they were missing. You are the answer. You are the answer. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you can come and work in the hearts and minds of people today. We thank you that you will send us out to proclaim this gospel message to the people that we meet in this neighborhood and beyond. And so we just pray your Holy Spirit would come and touch us and empower us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.